don't test my mouth. They say the truth is my sound. They don't understand what it means to me, but we chose to go.
Welcome to episode 27 of Black Girl Squeam. I am Dee Dee, also known as Dust Daughter on Twitter.
And I'm Enda, also known as Enda's Corner on Twitter.
And as always, this is the place where we celebrate Black Girl Magic with a...
Squeam!
You can contact us on Twitter at Black Girl Squee. Individually, Enda is at Enda's Corner. I'm at Dust Daughter. Our Tumblr is blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. Our email is blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. We're also on iTunes and Simplecast and Google Play Podcasts if you want to check us out there. So, also want to remind you of our spoiler policy. We spoil shit. Usually we spoil How to Get Away with Murder. This time we're going to be spoiling Luke Cage on Netflix. So, If you haven't binge watched it yet, just be warned. We cuss a lot. And we talk about peen, but not as much this episode because Luke Cage.
Yes. And we got company.
Yeah. We got to be classy. We got to pretend to be classy.
Not really. I'm not classy at all.
Then you'll fit right in. Okay.
So maybe we don't have to be so classy, but we can't be talking about all the assy or the dicky or, well, you know what I'm saying.
Are you sure? Because.
Well, okay. Forget everything I just said then. And let's just get on into the squeeworthy news. Precious Davis fights for social justice, love, and diversity in Chicago. Precious Davis is currently the Assistant Director of Diversity Recruitment Initiatives at Columbia College in Chicago. Before this, she used her skills as a performer to do community outreach around HIV prevention in LGBTQ communities in the Midwest. And it was doing this work that she decided to come out as a trans woman. She says, and I quote, "It was because of a beautiful trans woman of youth of color I met working at the center who was fully embracing her transition while still in high school that gave me the confidence to step into my own being. I thought, wow, that young woman is walking the halls of her Chicago high school fully realized." And then from that moment on, she began living as an out trans woman, continuing to serve the Chicago community. She now travels the country speaking at colleges and universities about dismantling bias, bigotry, and prejudice in their communities. So to Precious Davis, we want to give a huge smile! Okay. Keep doing what you do, boo.
Please. Yes. Okay, so our next item, in addition to being the cover feature in the Fader this month, Serena Williams wrote a very good piece about police violence. You know, she shared on her Facebook. And she describes the situation when she was asking her nephew to drive to a meeting so that she could work on her phone. But then when she realized that there was a cop passing him, she got really anxious and all these thoughts going through her head about I probably shouldn't have asked him to do this and all of that. And she says she thought about Philando Castile, the case where the cop shot an unarmed black man in front of his girlfriend and his 4-year-old child, and just terrified that they were going to be in that situation. And so, but among the quotes when she's explaining why she did this, she says, "There comes a time when silence is betrayal. I won't be silent." Okay.
And, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when somebody with as much money and social standing as Serena Williams has, she's like one of the greatest athletes ever, and now finally the highest paid tennis athlete ever. For her to still get that feeling of anxiety when passing a cop because she knows cops don't care how much money you have in the bank.
Yep.
All they see is your color.
Yep.
So, and for her to, you know, to use her voice in this way, is just another reason to love Serena Williams.
Yep, exactly.
So to Serena, we give a huge and our next story, one of the recently named MacArthur Fellows was curator, art historian, and professor Dr. Kelly Jones. And basically, she pretty much created the field of black art history because it didn't exist before she combined several different disciplines together. Dr. Jones is currently associate professor in the Department of Art History and Archaeology at Columbia University. She says, as for the field of art, black art history, there was no such thing. Quote, "When I was in college, I created my own major, interdisciplinary, between African American studies, art, and Latin American studies. I invented that for myself. Then I went back and got a PhD and started teaching that in a classroom. Mm-hmm. We've been making this field a discipline, all of us now teaching these things in the academy. Certainly that wasn't the case in the 70s. Wow. End quote. So, and as for what she's going to do with the money that she gets from the MacArthur grant, I think it's about $225,000.
$600,000.
She says, six?
Yeah, it's more than half million.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. She says, she's definitely going to get herself a new desk.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for you.
She's been using the same desk since she started this work. So she needs a new space.
Yes.
So that's
awesome.
Good.
That's awesome.
So to Dr. Kelly Jones, we give a big scream. Congratulations.
Yes. All right. Our next, this is interesting. This has to do with my lovely co-host alma mater, Howard University.
You?
Howard University. Well, there, Howard is building a school of communications, celebrating the 45th anniversary, and when this building, they're going to rename it, and it's going to be renamed the Kathy Hughes School of Communications. Kathy Hughes is the founder of Radio One, and it's the company is the largest black-owned radio chain in the nation. So, wow. So on the 23rd, they're going to be having their naming ceremony. And they officially announced this because they got a multi-million-dollar gift to the School of Communication from Alfred C. Liggins III, the president and CEO of Radio One. And according to the official press release, it was made through the Catherine L. Hughes and the Alfred C. Liggins III Foundation establishes that the school would be named in honor of Kathy Hughes. And that was for, yeah, more than $4 million. So, yeah. And Hughes herself is very accomplished. She was born in Omaha, Nebraska, and she began her career in 1969 with KOWH, which was a black radio station in Omaha. And Howard offered her a position as a lecturer. So, yeah, she's come a very long way.
Yeah, and it's just exciting to have something on that campus, you know, named after a black woman.
Yes.
I mean, the school itself is named for an old white man that used to be part of the Freedmen's Bureau after the Civil War. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, disturbing. I mean, think about how many historically black colleges and universities are named after old white men. But anyway, it's great that Howard University is going to get all this money, especially for the School of Communications.
Yeah.
And it's just an exciting time for my university, and I wish I was still going there so I could reap the benefits of this. But anyway,
I know, right?
this always happens after you graduate.
Yeah.
So to Kathy Hughes and to Howard University and to the School of Communications, formerly CB Powell, but now Kathy Hughes. That's going to be so exciting. Oh, where are you going? My next class is in Hughes. Oh, God. Anyway, to Catherine Hughes and to Howard University, I would like to give a big scream!
All right. Okay, so our next item, of course, we must talk about Luke Cage's breakout star, Simone Smisek, who plays Misty Knight in the show. She was recently profiled in Vulture, mm-hmm. and she talked about the politics of the show and improvisation on the set. And as it turns out, she improvised that ski-wee line on the show. I did not know that. Okay.
We're just ski-wee on out of here.
Actually, it was ooh-woo. I'm like, yeah, who cares? Okay.
Whatever.
I know, right? I'm sorry. Even I got that and it was hilarious. And I wasn't into the Greeks at all, but I knew what the ski-wee was and I cracked up. Okay. But anyway, yeah. She's also a Howard grad. I did not know that. So, yeah, Howard is just all over the place.
That's it.
We just have a disproportionate number of stories from Howard on this show, don't we?
I wonder why.
Okay. Well,
could be because we're awesome.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. What she says, what she hopes viewers take away from the show is that black women can be strong and opinionated without being emasculating. We're fully capable, as every man is, and should be treated as such. To recognize it's okay to be strong and sexy and smart at the same time. Not just for men to recognize that, but for women to recognize that. We don't have to shrink ourselves down in order to make men around us feel capable. We can be fully in our power as women. Simone. As if I didn't like her enough already, you know. But yeah. So you can check out this interview. It's at vulture.com, as I've said before, and read everything she has to say about being, in this role, and hope she gets her own spinoff series.
She needs it.
Please. Because that's actually where I want them to explore her doing the bionic arm, because I don't want that story contingent on anyone else.
basically.
Yeah.
You know, fuck the Punisher.
Yes.
Fuck White Iron Fist.
Yep.
Give me my Misty Knight series.
Please.
Right now.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so to Simone Missick and her interview and being the breakout star of Luke Cage, we give a big squee!
Ain't you? My son!
Speaking of a wonderful alum from Howard University, and speaking of Simone Missick, she took a awesome picture for her Instagram that kind of captures, well, most of the black girl magic that from Luke Cage, but not all of it, since a couple of people were absent from the picture. But if you go on her Instagram, you will see this picture that includes Alfre Woodard and I think a couple of the black women writers on the show, Akilah Cooper, Aida Kroll, Simone herself, Cassandra Freeman, Karen Pittman, who plays Ridley, and LaTanya Richardson-Jackson, who plays Mama Maybelle. You will see all of these women in one picture on her Instagram, and the caption reads, "My hashtag WCW Women Crush Wednesday goes out to the beautiful ladies of Luke Cage. There was so much melanin on that set. This looks like a dark and lovely commercial." The queen, real Alfre Woodard, knew this was monumental and made us take this shot. Good looking out, Alfre.
Yes.
And Chio Hadari Coker brought us all together. Epic. Mm-hmm. Hashtag epic, hashtag you never seen this on TV, hashtag behind the scenes, hashtag Luke Cage, hashtag Misty so lit, you know it, hashtag Misty Knight, hashtag black girl magic, hashtag natural
hair,
hashtag Marvel, hashtag Netflix.
Wow. See, it makes sense that Alfre Woodard put that together, because she, every year, she holds a get together for black women during Oscar season and has them all come together in one place, and it always just looks like the best gathering ever. I mean, wow.
I mean, I was not aware how woke Miss Woodard was, but reading these recent articles that she's done, these interviews that she's done for Luke Cage, Alfre's so woke.
Yeah.
Hashtag Alfre is the wokest.
Yes.
And this isn't even all of the black girl magic.
No.
There's even more.
No.
There's even more. I mean, there's Rosario.
Yes.
There's the lady that played Aisha that was bringing the gun up into the church.
Yeah.
There's so many different black women characters in this. There's the people that played Luke Cage's mom and Stryker's mom. There's Captain Betty Audrey, played by Sonya Song.
Yes.
Yes, that.
That's what I like about the show. It's like a lot of different, you know, kinds of blackness.
Yeah,
which is why I had to snap on someone on Twitter earlier this week, because they're just like, Rosario's not black. And I was like, excuse me, she's been very upfront about her Afro-Latina heritage from Jump Street. So you could kindly kick rocks and get off my page.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mute. Bye.
How do you sound about Rosario? Not, let me stop.
Anyway.
Exactly.
And then there's other women of color. There's the lady that played Connie.
Yeah.
Jamie, I think is her name.
Yes.
Sonia Braga.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, my God.
They brought her on just for 5 minutes of screen time.
Oh, and I loved it.
Anyway.
I loved Mama Temple.
She brought so much realness. And then she's like, you better not hurt my baby. She didn't care about the van. She's like, don't hurt my baby. Don't let my baby get hurt.
You bulletproof? my daughter isn't.
Better not have a scratch on her.
Yep.
She better not. So there's just all kinds of black girl, brown girl magic up in here. It's beautiful. And shout out again to Simone for capturing all of that.
Yes.
So now we might as well get on to the main topic, which is the Ladies of Luke Cage, with our special guest that you've already heard from, Clarkeisha Kent. Hello, Miss Kent.
Hey.
Clarkeisha Kent, a.k.a. Lex Luthor, a.k.a. sometimes Alex, is a self-described Nigerian blurred who moonlights as a crystal gem in her downtime. Sweet. Are you a fusion or just...
I think fusion would be great. I just love how literally, like, Garnet's my favorite, right? And I just literally, yes. She's two lesbians in, like, a coat. Like they're just, that's what she is. That's what she is. Like, that's really, like, gay, and I love it. So I'm just like, I think fusion is a perfect way to describe it, yeah.
Okay. That's great.
Miss Kent is also the co-founder of Sublime Zoo, which has written some great pieces about Luke Cage since its debut. And she calls herself the slayer of all your problematic faves and an aspiring director and showrunner. Miss Kent was born in the petty, molded by it. You merely adopted it.
I decided then and there we might be related.
Yeah, it's just, you know, sistering, you know, because the petty, yeah, it's far reaching.
Yes!
Petty's life.
It's life sustaining. So welcome, Clarkeisha Kent, to Black Girl Squee.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you guys.
We're so excited because we heard you on the Kugali podcast talking about Luke Cage, and there just wasn't enough time to get into everything that's awesome about the show, but mainly the awesomest thing about it, which is the women at the show.
Yes.
And with your background and your extensive knowledge of superheroes, we definitely think that you are the best person to geek out about this with. So let's go. While I was binging it last weekend, some of the first criticisms that I saw of the show were about colorism.
Yeah.
The fact that Luke's love interests, for the most part, pretty passed the paper bag test. Mm-hmm. Which, I don't know, gets kind of... I don't know. That critique gets kind of lost when you consider Misty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that she, you know, patently fails the paper bag test. Yeah,
thoroughly. Yep.
Yeah. Yes. Which, you know, is... Which, I don't know. That seems to distract or derail from the actual valid critique about colorism, and which is the fact that brown-skinned women are rarely considered. They're kind of erased in this light-skinned, dark-skinned discourse.
Right.
But that's probably another topic for another day.
Mm-hmm.
But how did you take this critique? What did you think about it?
So I think it was valid, and then there were parts where I had to disregard, like, you know, you gotta take it and leave it sometimes. I do think they're valid in saying that, like, Luke's, a lot of his, like, love interests are like light skin, because, like, look at Reva. Mm-hmm. Look at, like, Rosario. I think because the show has such, like, a wide ranging amount of melanin, is forgivable for me. Like, it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say if it was a, I don't even know. Let's say if this happened in, like, I don't know. I feel like it'd be more glaring if it happened in Black Panther, right? Yeah, I'd be like, I don't know how I feel about this. Because not to say that light-skinned Africans don't exist. They exist. I've seen them.
Yes.
my grandmother was very much one. I think she's very much white passing. And, you know, born in, like, super, you know, sub-Saharan Africa. Like, so they exist, but it's just, like, considering the people that, like, Luke dated, and then you have to consider the example of the woman in the barbershop who was, I feel like, I want to say she's maybe on par with Misty, but maybe slightly darker, and how, like, it kind of felt like, maybe she was aggressive, I don't know, but I'm like, was she aggressive because of who she is as a person, or was that something that they were trying to attribute to her skin? I'm not sure. Like, or the, you know, the tint of her skin anyway. And then you had, even like thinking about that scene where Luke is in Seagate with his Kunta Kinte / Frederick Douglass hair.
Oh, God. Do your wig.
Like, oh, my God. But that aside, he even talks about, you know, the new honeys now. And I was kind of like, wait, when did Luke go to jail? Because these are recent. You know,
yeah,
he's talking about.
I'm saying.
And talking about Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah.
Not even like Lisa Bonet. Like, he like passed Lisa and went to Zoe. And I'm like, see, I'm not mad at you because these women are very attractive, very hot. But like, notice the tone in which they are, you know? So I think Luke in particular is kind of like, yeah, you definitely. Son, there's maybe some things you need to unpack, but
color struck.
Yeah, like you know, like Mariah said, but not to him, but in general. But the show as a whole, like, I'm not mad at the show as a whole because we do see different like people and like different, like Mariah gets into, like, she's on the fringes of a relationship with Shades.
Yes.
So I'm not mad, right? But definitely, I think the critique stands if we're just talking about Luke.
You want me to?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because I'm speaking of Mariah, because we found out that in the comic itself, she's actually, she's fat, but she's also a giant. And
she's
so,
fat, she's a giant, and in certain prints, she's literally like black.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have been seeing some criticism about her fat erasure, and I was wondering if you could speak to that a bit about how we didn't really have this type represented in the shows. Could you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, that was one of the things I left out, and I actually was talking about that with Adrian. I was like, shit, I forgot to, that's an important part I should have mentioned.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hope I do get a point, an opportunity to mention it again. But, it's like similar thing we kind of witnessed with Suicide Squad. Like, I love the hell out of Viola Davis, but I was very upset that they erased Amanda Waller's like fatness.
Yeah.
Because it's so much, it's a part of her. And she's mentioned before in like comics how she's underestimated because of that, because of her blackness, and because of the fact she's a woman. Again, love Viola, but I was just kind of like, we dropped the ball here because, you know, just like we want different shades of blackness to be represented, we need different sizes represented as well.
Mm-hmm.
And not this same kind of, like, acceptable, I don't even want to say, like, acceptable body types, because all body types are acceptable, but, like, this,
Well, I know what you mean by that.
Yeah. Like, this one type of body type represented because of the superficiality of Hollywood.
This is the second time for Amanda Waller, because remember they had Angela Bassett in Green Lantern.
Well, it's the third time, because in the show Arrow.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yep, and she's light-skinned.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we knew that was coming, because CW had a fucking coat.
Yeah.
CW has an issue. I wasn't mad about Iris because Iris was already looking like that when they finally, you know, race bended her in the New 52 series. That's how she looked. But it's different with Vixen. It's different with all these different with Amanda Waller. Like, these women have been dark skinned or brown skinned for forever, and you're just purposely going out of your way to cast these lighter women. And I'm like, no disrespect to y'all, but, you know, just like I hounded Zoe Saldana and I hounded Scarlett Johansson. Yes. I was like, y'all need to learn how to say no. Because if you don't know, learn how to say no, then you're just as culpable when this shit happens. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, with Black Mariah, I was just like, yeah. I think they can get away with it because she's not as popular a character as Amanda, but like it doesn't mean necessarily it shouldn't be critiqued.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I'm kind of ecstatic to see that Afri Woodard is set part with respect to her age, because mm-hmm. I'm working on a piece right now because she is an older woman, and you are about to see her in this kind of romantic might be the word to use, but she is about to be, you know, in this relationship, mm-hmm. you know, as a love interest, or she has a love interest, you know, and mm-hmm. so I was actually really happy to see that, but still just can't ignore that, you know, well, they kind of took away this part of her from the comic, you know, mm-hmm. Like you said, that has to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Okay. So thank you.
No problem. And I saw a lot of tweets during Luke Cage weekend, you know, that said something along the lines of, you know, I've never seen this many black women talk to each other right. in a scene before.
That was like four.
I'm losing count of all the scenes with black women, you know, two or three black women, you're just having a conversation. So as far as the Bechdel test, isn't there another test that's specific to women of color?
McLemore test from okay. Pacific Rim, because it talks about the McLemore test revolves around, you know, the woman having her own plot, her own motivations, her own drive, her own fucking agency, right? And yes. I'm like, to be honest, I've never accepted the Bechdel test, and I think it's a very low bar. I think it's a low bar,
yeah.
And I think it's also vague because it's just like, oh well, it's just two women talking about shit, just not men. I was like, that's such. I'm sorry, it is basic. And it's such a white feminist way of approaching shit. I'm just like, I could be talking about men and have it be relevant to my goddamn plot. Because, like...
Exactly.
Because, like, it's just... It's a different thing. Like, even, like with McLemore in particular, like, she's around men because she got to deal with her dad and then deal with this new dude, Charlie Hunnam's character, Riley, who's just wilding about this shit. So I'm like, there's no way for her to not be interacting with dudes. And yes, there should probably be more women in this plot. Okay, whatever. But the fact that, like, she is a, like, lead character, and she has her own motivations. Like, she wants to get revenge on all these kaiju out here. Like, that should be enough for you to be like, okay, this is good. This is good. It could be better, but this is good. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I've always thought the Bechdel test was basic. I'm just, like, a lot of, like, things then would pass the Bechdel test that not necessarily, quote-unquote, feminist. So, yeah. But yeah, I was really excited about that. I was like, so many black chicks. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, Misty and Ridley are always arguing about Luke Cage, but it's not because they want to get with him or anything. Right. It's because he's a suspect in all these freaking cases.
Right.
So,
And Misty and Claire are friendly. You know, mm-hmm. they work together, you know, you see they both take shades down. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and even though they're both presented as love interest, you know, to Luke, they're not fighting over him.
Right.
You know?
Misty's like, I already had that.
Yeah, you know. And she's like, okay, whatever.
I'm done.
I mean, yeah, sees the situation with, you know, Claire and Luke, and she's cool, you know? Like, right. Yeah, go ahead, go get coffee.
Y'all sound married.
Yeah. You know, I love that they presented it that way. It's right. like they're all adults.
Right.
You know? So, cool.
So, the women of Luke Cage pass all the tests.
Oh,
it's
yes.
amazing.
Yes.
And especially when you think about how this show has a, you know, black male showrunner.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised that all of this black feminism is happening up on the screen. It's
beautiful. I heard he had a incredibly diverse writer's room. And that's literally, I keep telling people, that's where the goddamn power is, right?
Mm-hmm.
If your writer's room reflects the show that you are trying to put out, then it will all take care of itself. That's why I was extremely, like, irate when I saw the picture of the Orange is the New Black writer's room. Because I just sat there just looking at the screen with my black ass eyes talking about who on here is saying nigga? None of y'all is black. Who wrote it? The dog? Did the dog write it? Because all y'all... So it was just like, and it was obvious this, what was it, fourth season? I said their third season, I think, or fourth, or whatever. Their latest season was trash. Yeah. And I decided, I was like, I'm not going to watch it anymore because this was horrible. And whatever goddamn point you were trying to make was lost on the fact that, like, it was horrendous. Like, you trying to make this point by using black bodies as if we already don't face enough in, you know.
Yeah.
Your life. So yeah, I'm just proud of Shio and his team, because wow, I was just like, I expected Luke Cage to be good, but like my expectations were also surpassed. So I'm just like, I'm happy right now. I'm happy.
Yes. And how true to the comics do you see the characters of Misty Knight, Mariah Dillard, and Claire Temple?
I think the spirits are there, the inspirations are there, but like it's not 100% true to the comic, which I appreciate. I'm just like, again, much as I love Luke Cage, and I'm also not the person to like dismiss its like black exploitation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, roots, because I think it's important to its existence, right? Like, it wouldn't be here without it. But at the same time, a lot of it is offensive. Like, a lot of it is offensive. Like, yeah. I was scrolling, like, yesterday in preparation for this, and, like, I, like, literally came across, like, on Black Mirage page, how, like, she had decided to go after Luke Cage's friend, whose name was ironically D.W. Griffith. And I said, the nigga from Birth of a Nation?
Wait, what? Lord. What? Oh my, oh.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yes.
So, yeah, a lot of it's offensive, and because it's offensive, you really don't want to copy-paste that shit, which is why when, you know, I hear people say canon, I'm like, what canon are you talking about? Because as much as I love Marvel, some of it can go, man. Some of it can go, and it's not... Go ahead.
It goes back to the writers, like you were saying before, because, you know, basically the people that created and wrote for Luke Cage for most of his existence were white guys.
As always, they just think they're the proctors of everything. But I appreciate that you take the inspirations and make them better, because you want to make your own canon. You don't want to be married to the canon necessarily, unless it's good canon, then maybe. But what else happened? For example, I think I talked of like taking canon and making it new and relevant was Chio and his team kind of reappropriating Black Mariah. Because, like, in the comic, she's not called Black Mariah because she's dark. She just called it because she literally looks black, like ink, like black. And to take, like, Cornell and kind of reappropriate that and make that a thing because he's color struck and be like, oh, you're a darkie, so I'm going to call you Black Mariah, and have her be irate about that. I was like, that's fucking brilliant. Like, you took something that like didn't make no sense, and you made it relevant to a conversation that we are like constantly having in our communities. So I was just like, that's great. That's how you take canon, and particularly how you take shitty canon and make it new and relevant canon. So again, not 100% accurate, but like in certainly this case, you don't want it to be 100% accurate.
All right. So as far as, characterization, how, how fleshed out do you think these characters are, you know, over the course of a 13 episode
beautifully
season?
So, I have to sing super high praises for Claire, because, man, I love Daredevil, but I'm just like, she is literally just here for you to get your ass beat, and then for you to be patched up, and then for you to go out and then make kissy face with, like, Karen, even though, I'm sorry, y'all have, like, -2% chemistry. My whole thing's like, it gets worse with Elektra. I'm just like, so have like nigga chemistry with Elektra, so by default we're supposed to be like, okay, Karen and you are better, but yeah, both of them suck. And I'm just still in my feelings about Elektra, because she's not that shitty of a character, and so for them to have made her that shitty of a character, I'm just kind of I'm questioning why. I'm just like, okay, if we're gonna make her a woman of color, just why? Like, why did we do this? Like, so, Claire she was bouncing from show to show, and it's nice to have someone to connect the shows, but, like, she wasn't really getting no play. Like, even in the first season of Daredevil, which I loved, it was a good season, it's just, she helps Daredevil, and then she gets what? Kidnapped and brutalized, and, you know, then that's the end of that. And then she has that talk where she's like, oh, you know, Daredevil, you're doing too much. Because he is doing too much. Someone had to say something. But that's, like, the end of that. And she's like, okay, bye. And you don't really see her anymore. And then season two, she's, like, literally, I only saw her confined to the hospital. Like, except that one time where he got shot in his head and I guess needed a house call. And even then, when that happens, like, Foggy literally tells you, oh, yeah, she was here, but, like, she left. So you don't see her. So, I don't know. I was just happy to see her in Luke Cage. And her introduction to Luke Cage was fucking brilliant.
Yes.
I was just like, that fucking Jadena song playing in the background. And she's literally chasing this dude down, beating his ass for her purse. I was just like, this is just, this is, like, peak black here. Like, I don't even, what? So it's just, it was great. And then just have her in a show be this, like, forced to, like, ground Luke, because, like, I love Luke, but sometimes he was on some fuck shit, because he'd just be like, you know, I'm just gonna leave, I'm gonna run away and never come back, I don't care. And she's just like, bro, you're not special, you're like, because he's like, I'm an ex-con, and how do you go see me? And she's like, bro, like, this is Harlem, I feel like one in three people the ex-cons, like, bro, like, you're not special, like, I need you to chill out, bro. So it's just nice having her grounded, but also not having her trapped in the love interest role. Like, that's obviously a space she occupies, but she oscillates between being a confidant, being a friend, obviously being being a doctor, all this shit. So she definitely gets fully realized in this show, and I appreciate it, because I was just like, Rosario Dawson is too goddamn talented to just be relegated to these weird extended cameos. So yeah, I think she's great. I think Simone Mystic as Misty was great, but like I briefly shaded the character in the article where I was just like, so we got to talk about your detective skills at one point. But as a whole character, I like you because like you just you do you, and like I know that's a really basic thing to say about someone, but I'm just like, no, it's just like, this is Misty or Mercedes or whatever she wants to go by, and like this is how she operates, she's not gonna apologize for it. I thought, you know, there's some points where she was like grating on me. I'm just like, what is you doing? But like, I like that, you know, that was what was happening. I'm just like, obviously, as an actress, as a character, you're doing your job. If I'm just kind of like, you know, experiencing, to be honest, experiencing any like strong emotion with you. And it was nice to follow her because like she has great command of space, great command of the screen, so whenever she was there, like, she's just hard to like avoid. Like, even if she's somewhere in the background, like, my eyes are gonna shoot straight to Misty / some music. As for Alfre Woodard as Mariah, I loved her. I loved her that hated her. I loved her that hated her. Yes. And that's good. Because, like, villains, they're supposed to do it. Like, I felt the same way about Carnell, which is great. I'm just like, this is how you should feel about your villains. Like, you should love them enough to kind of know where they're coming from and be like, maybe I don't necessarily want you to lose, but maybe because I like the hero slightly more, you might have to lose, girl.
Yeah.
But she was great. I liked how she's definitely, like, you know, everyone's bougie aunt. Like, she technically, allegedly, you know, wants the best for you and everyone in this community. But the way in which she might approach getting that might not be the same way I approach getting that. But yeah, it's just weird just watching her be passionate about Harlem and want to keep Harlem black and as culturally awesome as it is versus, like, you know, some of her reactions to people doing certain things. I remember, I think she hugged on a kid or shook their hand, and then was just like, "Bro, give me some hand sanitizer." Like now, all these damn dirty kids. And I'm like, oh my god. And then, like, you know, her conversations with Carnell about using the word nigga and all this other stuff, and like. She's she's everyone's favorite bougie aunt, even down to the damn, like, AKA thing. Like, when they said that, I was just like, ooh, sips tea, come on, I'm not gonna comment, but oh my god. Like, I definitely, come from a, strong community of Delta Sioux. But I love the hell out of her character, and I also love the fact, like, later in that show, like, literally, I just love the show how, like, as it goes on, you get more and more of these characters. It's not, like, thrown at you. So finding out, you know, about her and Uncle Pete, that floored me. I was like, Jesus, they went there. They went there. Yeah. They went there, and they did not pull punches on that. And it's one of those things, like, it might rub you the wrong way, but I'm going to be honest. I think everyone knows Uncle Pete. As fortunate as that is, like, it's factual. So having that happen, then having, you know, her do what she did to Carnell because of, like, his accusatory, like allegation talking about she wanted that, that was huge for me. I'm just like, whew, like, it also brings up an important thing we don't talk about with, like, rape culture and also intersections of, like, blackness and black womanness and rape culture. Mm-hmm. Just like, a lot of people will excuse what these rapists do because they like them, because they're likable, you know? And because, you know, because Uncle Pete, you know, caped for Carnell, it just suddenly made what happened to Mariah okay, even though it wasn't. So it just, all three of these women aren't fully realized, like, even down to their sexuality. Like, I'm telling you, like, I was just looking at Mariah Shades, like, this is the grossest thing to ever happen, but I'm 200% here for it. Like, y'all give me the heebie-jeebies, like, y'all, it's like two Komodo dragon, like boss level motherfuckers in love, and it's gross, but, like, I love it because, like, I mean, like, who doesn't like, you know, true love? Like, if y'all find true love, whatever, but, you know, yeah, it's still gross, but I'm just like, this ship just, oh my god, I'm a ship it, but damn. And it's just, I don't know, I just like it because, like I talked about in my article, like, black women just, our sexuality is just so oft debated and oft, like, criticized and oft suppressed and oft, there's so many things that people try to do to us in regards to our sexuality, and then it gets worse if you throw in, like, you know, queerness and, like, you know, old, like, age and, like, desirability. So, like, having Alfre be as old as she is, but also, like, the, like, obvious object of someone's desire, I was just like, man, you better, Alfre, you better get it. Yes. And then the dudes who's playing Shades is, like, he's fine as shit. So I'm just like, oh my god. Yeah. I'm here for it.
Rossi is, yeah.
I'm just like, I'm just licking my scream to, oh, yes. Yes. That's another thing. I was just like, thank God. I was like, Marvel, y'all piss me off a lot more than you probably should, but I can't tell you, you know how to cast them. Except you. We're not going
to. Or Iron Fist.
Yeah, not, we're not talking about Iron Fist or like Doctor Strange, because those are obvious examples where you just said fucking didn't care. And I'm still mad about those. But like, for the most part, man, the eye candy, yikes. Whew. I had to be like, how the hell am I going to make it through this whole movie? Just all this in my face. But yeah, like, yeah, long story short. Sure, all these women are fully realized. Even, like, Reva, like, even though she, like, doesn't appear as much, obviously, because, like, she's in flashback form. She's, like, she's gone now. But, like, they managed to, you know, with the 2 to 3 episodes they used to feature her, they also make her a fully realized character. Because, like, what we were getting in Jessica Jones was literally just, like, a memory and, like, a bad one. And that was it. It's like, oh, she's this dead black woman who was married to Luke, and, you know, now Luke's a sad widow who just, I don't know, I guess is attracted to Jessica, and, I don't know, that whole shit thing was weird. Yeah. But having Reva, you know, come back and finding out, like, who, like, she knew some shit, she was in the know, and, and how that kind of changes how you view Reva, but also makes her, again, fully realized character who had, you know, thoughts, dreams, and ambitions. And, you know, sometimes not necessarily good ambitions. I don't know. It just, they just, Luke Cage takes every, like, well, like, female character you see and just makes them, like, three-dimensional. And, like, in 2016, that shouldn't be such a big deal, but it is. Especially because this is, like, again, Marvel's first production where it's just women of color everywhere. Yes. Like, a lot of people were mad at me because I was not feeling Jessica Jones. I still not. I'm just kind of like, yeah, cool. Thanks for talking about trauma. Thanks for talking about, like, survivors. Thanks for talking about rape culture. We don't talk about it enough. But I'm just like, it's just white chicks here. Sorry. Not sorry to say it. Like, is the reason why I didn't care for that, or I didn't care for Agent Carter. Cause I'm just like, you had a perfect opportunity to be like, you're gonna make a conscious decision to, you know, cast women of color. And like, I don't know, I hate when people are suddenly worried about historical accuracy, because nine times out of 10 during a normal time you don't care, but suddenly when, you know, it's time to cast people of color, women of color, it has to be accurate. I'm like, so are you saying we just didn't exist till like 1964? Like, is that what that assertion is? Because I got some bad news for you, man. So I don't know. I could not get into Jessica Jones because it's just like, it's just so few people of color here and in New York. That's really unacceptable. Yes. And the few people of color we had here were just literally just their plot devices, like all of them. So I don't know, Luke Cage just floored me in that regard, because at this point I had such a low bar for like just women of color. Like, well, if I see one, I guess claps. That's gonna be my how I approach that. So kind of seeing them, you know, play very pivotal roles in this show was great. I'm just like, I'm sorry, Luke, I love you, but like, we should probably call this Women of Harlem and just kind of, you know, play around you. I'm kind of like, oh, Birds of Prey style. But yeah, it was great, it was beautiful, I loved it. I'm definitely gonna rewatch it because I have to do like a actual review like I do other Marvel stuff. So that's going to be fun. It's going to be fun and also tedious because I got to pay more attention to detail, because kind of like, you know, just taking it all in on a first go. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I loved it. And I love the fact that we just now have literally just a squadron of women of color. And it's only going to get bigger when Black Panther happens. I will say one criticism, though, is just like for Marvel in general, I don't like how this is like the... I just don't like how it's, like, taking, like, literally us to be in the room for you to just be hip on this. Like, this should be a given. Like, it should not take these 2 to 3 Black productions to get Black people here. Like, y'all need to be on this from jump. So, I don't know. It's just, yeah, Marvel, y'all be taking, I guess, 2 steps forward, but then, or 1 step forward, but y'all also on that 2 steps backward syndrome, as we see with like Doctor Strange and Iron Fist. So,
but the thing is, they know they wrong, or they wouldn't have cast Chiwetel Ejiofor. in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have cast Louis Tan in Iron Fist. Like, you know you shouldn't make him the villain. You know he should be playing Danny Rand.
I just...
with his fine ass.
I'm literally putting on a thing on that tomorrow. But I was just floored about... First of all, let's talk about Doctor Strange. Yikes. I'm just like, oh my god. Because that went completely left as to what I wanted it, where the water needed to go. Because initially I was just like, if we get like Pedro Pascal playing Doctor Strange, I would love that. Cause I'm just like, he ain't doing nothing right
Oscar
now.
Oscar Isaac?
Yes. Mm. Like, he ain't doing nothing right now. He just died in Game of Thrones. Perfect. Perfect opportunity. Whatever. Take it. And I was just like, then they cast Benedict. I was like, this is woefully predictable. And I'm sad. I don't even like this dude. Yeah. I don't even like this dude. He looks weird. One.
Yes.
Two.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, even if I get over Doctor Strange, dude, okay, it's time to cast the Ancient One, time to cast Waller, time to cast your rival. You cast Chiwetel Ejiofor as, you know, Baron Mordo. And I was like, I got two issues with this. Everyone fucking knows who fucked with Doctor Strange, that Baron Mordo is his nemesis, like, number one. Like, that is public Doctor Strange enemy number one. Like, that dude hates to shell him, and it's because he came second string to Steven in everything, which is why Steven got picked over Baron to be, you know, Sorcerer Supreme. And I'm like, do you know how troubling and problematic it is to have your runner up, like the second runner up to this position, be a black dude? Like, it's bad enough that you're telling me that this random white dude, like, can out Asian everybody, so he's gonna become Sorcerer Supreme over here. So I'm like, okay, it's problematic enough. But you're also telling me that, like, he's especially better than this black dude who's vying for this same position. I'm just like, what? This, the optics look horrible. Which is saying, like, I'm just like, I love Chiwetel, but I'm like, what the hell is this? Why are you here? Why are you here? And then you have, yeah, Tilda Damson. And I'm like, bro, you careful. I'm not checking for you no more. And I'm like, you have, because Marvel really be on this shit where, like, if it's problematic, let's just put a white chick here and we'll fix it. I'm like, no, the fuck you not? Like, no, that's not how you fix it. And I was talking to AJ about this, and we were just like looking at each other like, what the entire fuck? I was like, first of all, your issue with these tropes that you've used in the past were that they were three-dimensional, they were stereotypical, and racist, which is why you had this problem. If you wrote these motherfuckers like people, you wouldn't have had this problem. But if you found, you know, old, ancient, mystical, like, mentor problematic, the gender bend should have happened. It definitely should have been an Asian woman. But AJ, after, because we've been, like, she's been watching a Full Metal Alchemist with me recently, and there's a character on this show, little Asian girl, who is literally so well-versed in, like, the arts of alchemy. I'm like, she was like, real talk, they should have just made the Asian one a little girl. Like kind of similar. I hated Exodus. I hated Gods of Egypt. I wanted that movie to flop real bad. But I found it so interesting that in that film, God took the form of a little child, right? I was like, that's an interesting way to retell that story. Because Old Testament God, yeah. Like, Old Testament God definitely, like, reminds you of a child. But here, definitely take that trope, flip it, and make it a little Asian girl. And, you know, Steven, you know, takes any umbrage with this. She can just literally be like, well, you don't know my life. This is probably my 12th life. Like, I'm on my, like, 12th life cycle, so you can shut the hell up. So, just taking that and flipping it and making it more interesting and not, you know, putting this weird white woman here who's bald, so you're still kind of invoking that image of, like, ancient, mystical, you know, old Asian man. She's just a white woman now, right? And it's weird. And trying to say that, oh, like, she's Celtic, so this makes it better. I'm like, what the fuck? Okay, then what the fuck is a Celtic woman doing in Tibet? What the?
Thank you.
What? Okay, I was like, you made this worse, because now I'm asking more questions. I'm like, wait, what?
Yes.
What the hell? And then what really, both of these things made me angry, but what really made me the most just irate was the fact that they kept Wong. They kept Wong as little Asian man servant. Now, obviously, the actor has said that the character gets to do more, but I'm like, no disrespect to you, homie, but, like, this looks bad. Like, it looks bad because the only character they were bent on keeping, you know, Asian was literally the manservant dude. Because, like, I'm sorry, in the comics, like, maybe he does more, but, like, every time I see him, he's literally rubbing the H1's crystal ball and helping people get to different dimensions. That's about as much as he does. That's about it. So just to make all these major changes, to make it so your cast is not even Asian, like talk less like Asian American, and then but keep the only Asian person here, literally the like serve it. It just looks bad. And then having these things happen in conjunction with Ghost in the Shell, where like white ass Scarlett Johansson thinks she can play Asian ass like major, and then having like, God, Irfist. Like, that, I'll be salty about that for a while. I don't care what anyone says. Yeah. I'm going to be salty because there's a whole campaign and people are trying to literally gaslight people, talk about it didn't happen. And I'm like, I have receipts. Fuck y'all. Like, I'll just be forever mad about that because it's one of those things, like, he should have been Asian. Like, he should have been Asian American. There should have been no argument. Like, you literally atone for a lot of the, like, yellow peril narratives that you were running in this time period when you make him Asian American. So the fact they're just like, man, fuck it, we're just gonna make him white, I was just like, oh my god
and this rusty dusty crusty ugly white dude too. I'm like, that makes it worse.
He looks like gentrification
to Finn Jones. You probably a nice guy, maybe, I don't know you, I don't care. But it's just, like, seeing Louis Tan and then seeing Finn Jones, I'm just, like, I'm outwardly screeching like a pterodactyl. I'm just, like, why, God? Like, and he does his own stunts? I was like, what the hell?
And I think he said he almost had
he almost had the lead, but they decided to go with Finn. And I was like, Marvel, what the fuck? I literally was audibly like, what the fuck? It's just like, I'm looking at the Defenders, and I was like, you know how cool would it have been to have, like, Luke and just Danny just be broing out like this, and him be Asian-American? Like, I'm sorry. It just makes, it makes for an interesting dynamic. It just makes for a more interesting dynamic. Like, I don't think Danny, there's nothing in his canon that just necessitates that he be white. Like, and people were trying it. They're like, well, he has to be an outsider. I was like, I hope you know about generational gaps, since you want to be a smart ass. I'm just like, using my own example, I'm Nigerian, but I was born in America, so it makes me Nigerian American. There's a vast difference between me and someone who was born like in Nigeria. Like, there's gonna be a gap, like a clear gap. So if I decided to go back to like Nigeria and become like, I don't know, like the Black Mamba of Nigeria, like that I am their leader, I am, you know, trying to save them, I feel like they're gonna have some legitimate issues with me doing that. Yes. I'm like, I'm not fucking from here, and that's all that needs to happen. Daddy was not born in Kunlun, so by that damn default, as an Asian American dude, he would already have, you know, upward battle to fight in that regard. And like, even for people who are just like, he needs to be white, I was like, well, let me leverage you with you then. What about a white passive person of color? Because that happens too. Like, and that would also make it more complicated for him, because like, even though he has this heritage, this history, now you have people questioning it because of how he looks. So I don't know, it was just a logic that people were trying to use. I was just like, you know what, you don't have the juice, man. Like, these arguments you're lobbying at me, they don't work. because there's an answer for every one of your qualms, but you just don't care because you just want him to be a white dude. And that's the thing I wish people would just admit. Like, just admit that you just want this dude to be white and you don't have a logical reason as to why. Just admit it. But, you know, that never happens. So, I don't know, like, in that, it's just, in that regard, you know, Luke Cage is wonderful, but, like, Marvel has such a long goddamn way to go in literally every other department. Like, I haven't even started to talk about, like Latinx representation, because I'm just like, that's his own beast that I can't get into, but, it's just Marvel, like, being a Marvel fan is just, like, an exercise in extreme patience, so...
Yeah.
And you haven't even started talking about the fucking fandom. So, speaking of the fucking fandom, in your informed opinion, do you think fans or new fans should invest any time or emotion into shipping Luke with any of the cast of Luke Cage? Or anyone other than Jessica Jones?
So, I'll be honest. Because I don't care for Jessica, I'm not shipping that nigga with him. Keep it completely 100. Like, you know what? I understand some of the fuck shit that Jessica did, you know, because considering the fact that she was literally her villain, what I really liked about her show was that her villain was, in fact, like, white male privilege personified. Like, Purple Man... He literally, like, that, I feel like that's every white dude's wet dream to just be able to, like, control people without consequence and be like, I want this, therefore I'm going to have it, you know? And that, you know, Jessica falls into that because, you know, white dudes supersede everything. So I really liked how they did that. Like, he is literally white male privilege personified, and this shit looks terrifying. Like, oh my god. So that was great. But, like, the rest of that show, I'm just like, man, I'm not trying to be here. Woo! I can't. Like, whoo. But I don't know. I like Luke, and the way he was treated on that show was kind of garbage. So, and not even kind of, I think I'm being nice when I say that. It was garbage. It's full blown. It was. Full blown dumpster fire. So, I definitely was like, I would ship it literally with everyone on Luke and CBS. Shit, there's probably someone in the universe talking about Luke and Mariah, and there's probably fanfic that exists. Go ahead with your bad self.
She said she would wear his narrow ass out.
She sure did.
And when I said that, I was like, oh my god. I'm telling
you. You know somebody's writing a fic.
You know it. I'm waiting. I plotted. I'm waiting for someone. I'm waiting to cut for this damn fic.
Smiled when she said it. He smiled.
He did. That was the thing that happened. So I definitely, like, I ship it with mostly everyone. Definitely would like to. I definitely want to see a Claire Luke ship happen. I would definitely support it more than a Luke Jessica ship. And then maybe him or Misty or him with whoever, basically anybody on the show, really. I don't ship him with Jessica because I'm like, you know what? I'm glad I know what I know now about Reva, but I was a little skeptical. I'm like, are y'all telling us this so we don't feel as bad now that, you know, Jessica killed her? Is that what this is for? Because if that's what this is for, I'm not going for it. I don't care.
This is how Marvel continues to, like even when there are L's outside of their reach, they keep stretching toward the L's so they can grab them. Like, they want to grab all of the L's. For all of the people that want to ship Luke with Misty or Claire, or Misty and Claire, or... Misty Claire, Patricia from the barbershop, just everybody. You know, the fucking fandom, the clandom, as somebody so cleverly termed it, now wants to talk about Jessica. Now wants to talk about canon. You weren't trying to say that when Jessica Jones first came out, and y'all were trying to ship her with fucking Purple Man.
Yeah,
I was fucking killed.
Y'all fucked up. I can't deal with it. I was just like, I don't really fuck with y'all.
It's okay.
All right. Alrighty. Talking about, he's so like, oh my god, he's such a poor and like misunderstood. So, and I was like, y'all, and I was like, y'all have problems. Like, they're literally corners of Tumblr. I was like, that's why I was like, you know what, I think I'm just gonna make that full transition to Twitter and then come back here occasionally to see some, like, I guess some mess. But yeah, they were really seriously like shipping them, and I'm like, that's not okay. But even then,
But this is the same fandom that woofied the fuck out of Loki after he killed 60 people in Stuttgart.
Yeah, like who?
So whatever.
Looking at, like, fucked, man, dude, like, bruh, you making Black Panther's family look like normal, like, bruh. But Black, you know, Black Panther's family is just a mess. But he's still not no damn cinnamon roll. Like, he's not perfect. You know, you're too perfect for this world. Like, no. That dude, he got some issues. So for you to be like, oh, like, this, he's like, I guess, magic Jesus, I got problems.
Yeah, one of his big issues is disregard for human life.
Yes.
So yeah, that's where I have a big problem with him.
Yeah.
Thank you for speaking on that, because that
gets on my nerves, and it's also worse. Like, if you even look, stop watching, because I was just tired. I was like, kudos to people who are still, you know, there watching it, but I just because of, especially with the Flash, like the way they were treating Candace Patton in the show and like online, I was just like, man, fuck y'all. And then want to get mad when she decided that she wanted to act Buck, because they was coming at her neck wrong. And I'm like, no, fuck y'all.
Yeah.
Like, y'all just expect Black women to just be taking fuck shit and not saying nothing, talk about we strong, we could take it. Like, no, bitch, I'm gonna drag you. I'm strong. Yep. That's why I'm dragging you. I am strong. That's
why I'm gonna drag you. Strong enough to drag you.
Yes. So, yeah, I had to stop. I was like, I'm tired. Like, this whole literally has to fight for screen time, and it's I'm good. So yeah, I don't really do fandom because it's racist, and even if it's not racist, it's weird as fuck. Like fucking people shipping brothers together. Like, the amount of like fic that I came across shipping like Sam and Dean together, and then like shipping like Loki and like Thor together is, oh my god. And then, you know, people tried to like explain the Loki Thor thing. We're like, Loki's a dog.
They're still brothers.
They were together.
Yeah, it's nasty. Like, I can't do fandom. It's too much. It's too much stress. I'm not going.
And the people that are trying to ship Rey and Kylo Ren together.
Yeah, no. I'm like, I reject this in the name of Jesus. I can't do it. No, I'm not. I ain't going.
So yeah, fandom is all kinds of fucked up. Yeah. And last question. Your latest article on Sublime Zoo focuses on the women of Luke Cage, which is why it's so great to have you on the show. But you specifically noted the lack of Black femmes in the MCU before this show. Why do you think it's so important to see representation for Black femmes specifically?
So as I talked about in the article, the baseline for Black representation is like Black cis males. Like, once you have like two, three up in here, it's too many Black people, we're done. And it gets worse when you start to delve into queerness and, you know, like trans folks and like other shit, even like in neurotypical like Black people. Like, we don't talk about that a lot. So, yeah, prior to Luke Cage, there was zero. Like, we had that 1.5 in Jessica Jones, where you had Reva being dead. Just that's it. Just Reva being dead and falling a lot in flashbacks. And then you had that other Black woman who was like married, but like dating question mark Luke, and she had weird conversation with Jessica, and then she literally disappeared. Now it, I did forget to count Ben Ulrich, Ben's wife in Daredevil, but yeah, that's about it, right? Because like she appears, she's sick, she appears, he dies, she appears, she's sad. That's it. Like that's. And then the fact that we gotta fucking deal with Karen's fuck ass, like viewing her through that lens. I just, I'm forever salty because Ben didn't need to goddamn die. And it made it worse that the reason that he died was because he wouldn't turn fucking Karen in. And I'm like, oh my god. So, yeah, prior to Luke Cage, there was nothing. You know, we had Don Cheadle as, you know, War Machine. We had Anthony Mackie as Falcon. And, you know, eventually even had, you know, Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther. But, like, literally zero black films. Just none to be seen. And, you know, not just, you know, just... Not women of color, period. Just missing in action. And like they tried with that shit with the, you know, Age of Ultron, and you know the what's her name? The Doctor
Helen Cho.
They tried that with Helen Cho, and even then she became like mindless minion number one. And just thinking. Thinking about female representation in the MCU is just trash, because like it just for women of color, just we're just invisible prior to this point. And I was like it really took Luke Cage for us to have like multiple women of color here, like just present, just being ourselves, you know. So I'm just looking at Marvel like, you better find a way to sustain this, because right now it's not looking good for you, homie.
We even got a trans woman of color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, so yeah, but
they're doing it.
Yeah, I love Luke Cage for this reason. I'm just like, it's just being told to wait. It just makes me irate. Steph, I will, like, I follow her, and shout outs to her, but, like, I remember she literally, during the Olympics, and prior to, you know, debut of Luke Cage, was, she was talking about how, you know, like, all these awesome black women showing on the Olympics, and we ain't got no heroes to reflect this, and people jumped in her asshole talking about, what about Catwoman? I said, what about that bitch? I hate that movie. Her name is not even Selena Kyle. Like, bye. Like, and then my friend, literally a friend of mine, Janae, pointed out, and I love that she pointed out, she said, and you know, when it came time for Catwoman to matter, to be an actual character, they cast her as, you know, white Selena Kyle. So, I'm not here for it. It's just, like I said, the baseline is always, like, black, cis dudes. I'm just like, no, we need more than this. So, just having all these women here in addition to, you know, more of these, like, kind of, like, different dudes with different politics was just kind of awesome to watch. I hope it does continue through the rest of the universe. I hope we see these characters again. I hope we get Shuri in Black Panther. I hope we get, Monica Rambeau and Captain Marvel. Like, there's plenty of more of us where it came from. I just need Marvel to do better with that. And you know, other women of color, because like I'm like cautiously optimistic about seeing Colleen Wing, but you know, obviously not optimistic that she's gonna be at the, you know, opposite end of dealing with Frost Fist or Coachella Fist, whatever you want to call him. Yeah, it's just like they need to do better, man. They need to do better. And I'm just hoping they kind of take the momentum they've been given with Luke Cage and run with it, because like they have the nerve to drop the ball after this. It's not gonna look pretty, because like if they want to last as long as they want to, they have to include people of color. It's not a question. It shouldn't be up for debate. Like, you have to do it. Like, and if you fail to do it, it's gonna reflect in that box office. So, or your totals or whatever you're using to measure. So I don't know. I'm like, again, cautiously optimistic because I was going into Luke Cage, super pessimistic because of all the shit we've seen recently. Was happy about Black Panther, but once again, like that one bright spot in what has been a lot of like fuckery. As a, you know, a woman of color, black woman of color, like fallen Marvel. So I don't know. I'm just hoping they see the reaction to Luke Cage and realize, hey, there's an audience. Duh. Let's engage them. So,
I mean, we've been here all along buying these comics,
right. Buying these comics,
buying these action figures, all this stuff. There's been nerds, black nerds, since the beginning of time.
Look at rap artists. Like 99% of these hoes are blurts. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when one of your AKAs is a comic book character, I mean, come on. Just, we've been here. It's about time you started recognizing us, or, you know, that audience that you're trying to build for the future is gonna just say, fuck you. You don't want to acknowledge us. We don't have to support your shit anymore. So we could talk about all this all day, but we thank you so much for your time, Ms. Kent. Again, you can check her out on at thesublimezoo.com. She's also on Twitter. Give us your Twitter.
My Twitter
again.
Is at @iwriteallday_, because whoever had I write all day was whack and wouldn't give it to me. So yeah, @iwriteallday_. You catch Sublime Zoo at literally at Sublime Zoo, and then my co-writer and partner AJ Parker at this yo grand pappy. We are here. We're on Twitter. We love to talk to you, engage with you guys, and cut up. That's what I do. Literally, I'm on here cutting up when I'm not talking about more serious shit. So thank you for having me. It was fun. Yes. I could talk about Luke Cage all day. You could talk about black women all day. Like, yeah. So I'm happy to be here and happy to have shared this with you guys.
This was a treat.
Well,
yeah.
That's what we like to do. This was a treat.
Really just enjoyed, you know, listening to you, having you here. I'm so glad you could do this.
So we're just going to hit you with one Black Girl Commandment and be out. And the commandment this time is to speak your truth, because the world needs to hear it.
Yes, I agree.
So, just a reminder, Black Girl Squee is approachable on Twitter, at Black Girl Squee. Enda is at Enda's Corner. I'm at Dust Daughter. Our Tumblr is blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. And we're also on iTunes. We're at Simplecast, blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. And we're on Google Play. So just search for Black Girl Squee on Google Play and we should come up. So if you would like to comment or give us feedback on the show, please feel free at any of those places. Rate and review us on iTunes if you can to let more people find the show. And until next time.
Bye. See you.
Woo! Oh, yeah. That was awesome. Yeah.